We welcome you online viewers. We thank you for joining us today and just being a part of service with us. All right, we are going to speak today on the topic of treasure. And before we do that, I want to give a quick reminder that please, if at all possible, if you could stay with us after the service, we are going to have our Burger Melon Fest. Hopefully you came prepared, yes, and came ready to consume large quantities of meat and watermelon, okay, and other various things that we have available. But that is going to be immediately after the service, and we're going to ask you to go out these doors and around into the U-turn building, and we've got tables and everything set up over there and people ready to serve. Our youth will actually be helping with that, because this is a youth fundraiser to help finish off the last stretch and get them to camp. So if you are a youth and you haven't talked with us, or you want to go to camp and you just don't know how you're going to go, please let us know. We want you to go. At the same time, if you are an adult and you've been before and you've maybe been a cabin leader or you've helped out in some way and you haven't tied off with us, please make sure to get with Christy or Amber in the front office. You can call the 405-942-1240, and it goes to Amber first. And if Amber can't answer it, then it goes to Christy. You can also leave a voicemail there on the automated system. And just let us know that it's regarding camp and you want us to call you back and get those details. So if you'd please do that, that would be awesome. Just a reminder, camp is going to be July 19th through the 23rd. And it is in the same place as it's always been, right outside of Welling, Oklahoma. So it's a few hours away. And if you have a camper that's going, one thing that you want to make sure you get with us on is the travel plans, because typically we like to do a whether it's like a carpool, you know, a line of cars all going together, or if we can all fit them in a couple of vehicles, we will do whatever works best. But we want to make sure what you need is met. So come talk to us about it. All right. All right, so that is my my quick updates. I guess the last update I'll give you is I announced, I think last week before I went on vacation, that Pastor Gary Donahue is going to join us, not next week, but the following. Next week is Father's Day, and we want him to be able to be with his grandbaby. So the 27th, he'll be here, and he's going to finish off our Blueprint series, and I'm really, really excited to hear what he's going to say. So join us next week, and then the following week, we're going to have Gary Donahue with us. Amen? All right, so today, we're going to continue in our series. We're going to talk about treasure, and at this moment, we're going to proclaim our declaration. These are statements, things that I hope that you can say and believe in your heart that God is doing and using in you. So whether you have your hand motions or Bible in your hand, whatever it is, join with me as we say, "My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says, and my voice will declare the truth of His word." Jesus, I pray that our voices truly do declare Your truth. That, Lord, when we are faced with an opportunity to gossip, to tear down, to grumble, complain, whatever it is, whatever's going on, Lord, would You quench our hearts, quench our spirit, and help us remember that we are talking about Your body, Your bride, and those things should not come out of our mouths. Lord, would You guide us in Your truth? Would You guide us into unity, unity in this body, so that we can be effective in sharing the gospel and ministering to people who are hurting? Lord, they're coming out of that mess. They don't want to get into this place and be back in that mess. We should look different. We should sound different. Lord, we're not perfect, but Lord, by Your grace, by Your mercy, You're working in each and every one of us day by day. Lord, I ask that You anoint this time, anoint our ears, anoint our hearts. Lord, help us to get past the hunger pains so we can hear Your word today. And then let us celebrate and fellowship together as one body. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you agree with that today? All right. So today, like I said, we're talking about treasure. And a couple questions that I want to talk about. We'll discuss what treasure is, but I want to teach us to recognize what we have and how to use it. Can we do that today? All right. So I have to give a vacation story. I feel like it's almost, you just have to when you come from a vacation, time away, that God is speaking and God is doing things. And something that I didn't anticipate is the way that he spoke, what he was going to say. But so we're on vacation, and Christy and I were like, what are we going to do? You know, it's later. You know, it was stormy and rainy and kind of crazy the first part of it. And so we had an Apple TV available to us, so we were like, we're going to watch a show. Let's find something, you know. And we're odd. Like, guys, listen, I have three boys and a girl, and even the girl likes all the superhero stuff and all that. And no joke, there are movies that we have seen probably 10 to 15 times. So we got our money's worth out of those movies. Like, trust me, we've watched a lot. And so we weren't really looking for that, and it was really hard to find something. And you know, you might not agree with my style, but our style is if it uses language, if it is excessive in violence, if it has things that are inappropriate for children, like the sexual stuff, and even alluding to that, it's not our jam. We don't want any part of that. We don't want to subscribe to that because we're basically paying and saying, I agree. And we don't. So it's difficult these days to find something that you can get behind that has a good story. And so right about the time we were about done, Eli had this wise idea. He said, you know, we really typically like watching those home renovation shows. Maybe we can find a good one, right? You know, most of them are staged. We get it. But we opted to check out HGTV nonetheless. And guys, we found a show. It's new to us. To say that we spent hours would be an understatement. We watched a lot of this show because it was all available to us. We had all the seasons, right? You know, so you get to catch up on all of it. So not a new show, but new to us. And on the show, a few of the things that we liked is the married couple is so funny. One of my favorite things is you can tell how much they love each other. And I think that's super valuable when you're in something like that could be stressful and hard on your family and on your life. But man, they were just so in love with each other. So that was something we admired. They were very creative. Like, I'm talking like painting out little portraits of what they vision, you know, the house or the rooms to be in. And then about, you know, I don't know, probably 5-10 episodes in, they even did something I think is cool because I'm a computer nerd, but they started doing these 3D graphic designs. So you really got to visualize what walls they were removing and holes they were punching in and redesigning, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I was like, man, this is high quality. Like, this is good. I'm liking this. And then the last bit was they really focused on small towns. So they lived in a small town, and when we first caught the show, it was something they were calling a hometown takeover. So they actually went to this little town in Alabama, and they just started completely revitalizing things. And I particularly liked it because, you know, you have people bawling, I'm bawling, so I'm like, we're in good company, you know. And so it's just like, was just so awesome to see the love and the genuine desire that this couple had to really make people's lives better and then also bring them together. So it wasn't just as simple as we're going to renovate your house. It was inviting them to a little city square, little musical, you know, things where they brought in an artist and they had a guitar and they were singing songs, like community events to bring that relationship into play and really make sure that all these people were kind of all doing this together. So I really like that. Now, something that stuck out to me as it pertains to our message, as I was thinking later on that night, they had this unique quality to bring out not only the history. They did a lot of research on where this came from and how old this house was. So you have to imagine all of these houses were built in the early 1900s. So I already thought it was really cool because it's like, man, they just built it differently back then, you know. And so they could bring out that history, but they also had the ability to just see hidden potential and just pull it out. Like, hey, just go with us, you know, because you had people that are like looking at them cross-eyed, you know, but they're like, just go with us. Like, imagine, all right, we think behind this wall that's got nasty wallpaper and a bunch of cheap wood, we think it's going to be like brick, like chimney, like really good looking stuff. Or, hey, just imagine this floor, there's probably really, really authentic and good hardwood under there that hasn't been damaged because they just covered it up. Just go with us. And then so, you know, it's like the clincher, they'll take the big old sledgehammer, and the guy is huge, so he's like, ka-kunk, and it goes right through the board, and it's just perfect flooring. Like, you couldn't have planned it any better kind of thing. And it's like, man, I just love seeing that. And then when the couple comes back in, they purchased the house, they've had them renovate, and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm not even in the same place. Like, what happened, you know? And so I was thinking about this, and a scripture came to my mind. This one, and I say this every time, just go with me, but one of my favorites. There's the band that when I first came to Jesus started right around that time, and their little name came after this, but it's found in Second Corinthians 4:7, and I'm reading in the New International Version, and it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And we're going to dig into this a little bit more, so just kind of go with me because I want to read that in a fuller context. But I want to see, once again, how can we see the treasure that's in us, and then how can we use it? So let's look at what treasure is first. So often to find the context of a verse, you guys have heard me talk about this before, but I'm just going to reiterate. You usually look before it, and you look after it, and you kind of piece it all together and say, okay, God, what are you saying? I find that's the best way to go about it. So if you find another method, you let me know. But I believe the one who penned it is the one who can tell me what it's about. So I read it in context, and then I ask him. So I'm going to sum this up in 2 Corinthians 4. If you read starting at verse 1, you'll see this here. But I believe the context is speaking about the treasure of the good news. So what's the good news? The good news is Jesus is alive. He's the promised Messiah, and his plan is for us to tell everyone about it. That's the good news. And this treasure dwells inside of us. Simple jars of clay. We were made from the earth, we'll return to the earth. And then, you know, something that I thought about, this is kind of a freebie, but man, that he would entrust something so beautiful in something so simple. Something so temporal. So, anyways. Then another scripture came to mind, Matthew 13:44-46. He says, this is Jesus speaking, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field or in a house or in you. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. As I was preparing this, I just couldn't get past the impact that this should have on us, the power behind what we're talking about and what Jesus was trying to convey. We're talking about someone who saw it and was there from the beginning. And he's like, how can I explain this to you? You know, it's like, imagine that task first off. But it's like this. And he gives us that nugget of a treasure. And as we're speaking today, I hope that you're looking internally. You're looking at your life. You're looking at things around you. And you're like, what is it that I've treasured above everything else? What is it that I would take and I would sell everything I have just to focus on that? This treasure that we're talking about brings the dead to life, spiritually and physically. So it's the finest thing we could ever find. Now there's a catch to it. You may say, Chris, how is there a catch to it? The master of this treasure that he's entrusted with us, that we've found, that we've stumbled across, he wants us to use it. And we talked last week about the man in Matthew 25:14 who wasn't like the first two, and he took his talents and he went out in his backyard and he buried it. I encourage you to be like the first two that said, he gave me something so precious. It only makes sense for me to take it and to use it and to multiply it so that I could give it back to him. Because what they realized, and I can kind of see the heart of that man who buried it. Man, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to mess it up. Gosh, like this is treasure, right? But in contrast, the first two said the same thing. They just said, how can I show that I'm faithful with that treasure that he's entrusted with me? Ah, I'll put it to use. I'll make something of it. I'll apply it. True thanks, true stewardship is taking what you've been given, regardless of how big, and putting it to use. And saying, God, all I have are these two hands. I may not be able to do much, but I'll do everything that I can. Right? And you'll find, I hope so, but I believe that you'll find a bunch of people that want to come alongside you and say, yeah, I got two hands too. Imagine what we both can build. They didn't tell us if the first two guys worked together. They just told us that they multiplied it, right? Something that I wanted to really stress on here, not just being like the other two and multiplying, but if you're not sure what to do, goodness, you are in good company. Someone raise your hand if you know everything about what to do with what God's given you. Oh, I see no hands, including mine. Ask somebody. I'll tell you what worked or didn't work for me, but it may work for you, so hey, it's all fair game, right? So my next point, as I said, how can we see this treasure? And I thought about the people on these shows. They often had this treasure, but they were completely blind and oblivious to what they had. Guys, there was a house. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think. Three bedrooms, two baths. They opened up a part of it. I'm picturing it because that's how I work. Opened up a little part of it. So I want to say they gave them like, I don't know, maybe a den and a half. So it was about, I think it was about 2,500 square feet. It was built in 1913. It was actually a historic landmark in the city, which was so cool. They got it for like $68,000. Like, no joke. It was dirt cheap. And I don't know what it appraised for after that, but I know what they spent into it and how it just, goodness, inside and outside, they did the yard work too. But it's like, wow, that's treasure. And you didn't even know you had it. And it really didn't cost you all that much to start it and dream and hope a little bit, right? And that's in each and every one of us. But just like them, we're blind and oblivious to it. Until, right? So let's look at Psalm. I don't have this on the screen, but you can write this down. Psalm 146:7-8. The word says, he upholds the cause of the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Amen. And the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. And I have a couple more verses like it. These are on the screen. Isaiah 42:6-7, and then I'm going to jump down to 16. Starting in verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light. I'm emphasizing that word on my notes. And a light for the Gentiles. To open the eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So you see where that light comes in, that blindness. All right, jumping down to verse 16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things that I will do, and I will not forsake them. Amen? Amen. That was all before Jesus came. Isaiah was seeing into something that was going to be. I'm here to tell you that you're going to be able to do that too. So we were the blind. We were the ones fumbling around in the darkness, wondering why the work of our hands was so unfruitful. Then, I have mine all capitalized. Then, he turned on the spotlight. All the light fills the darkness. Hey, we can see, you know. There was four weeks that we had no power during the crazy ice apocalypse of 2020/2021. And the moment the lights cut on, we were like, hey, you know, it's like it changed the whole atmosphere, right? It filled the dark places. So when he turned on the spotlight, we could begin to see. And he said that he was going to lead us, that verse there at the beginning of 16, by ways they have not known. And as I said, we don't really know how he wants us to do this. But that key word there is, I'm going to lead them. Yes, lead me, right? I hope you're not trying to fumble around in darkness any further. Let him lead you. The Holy Spirit will come into our heart upon our confession of faith in Jesus. Eli and I were talking about that this morning. And get this, he knows your gifting. He knows how to unearth it, and he knows how to use it. So here, we are left with a choice. Here's your choice. Here's something you need to just process and think about. Will I choose to partner with him and allow him to spiritually renovate me, or do I choose to remain as I am? Will I choose to partner with him? I'm reminded of something Alan shared with me this morning. When you look at Genesis, and the Lord is discussing with the Godhead, so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Let us, is the wording, let us make man in our image. He wasn't talking to the angels, he was talking to himself. And that is the first time we see that. That's the first time we hear that. But all we got to see up to that point in the scriptures was creation, words coming to life. And that's the image that he said, let us make man in our image, so that they would be co-creators in this story that they had planned out from the beginning, right? How cool is that? I don't want to leave this part here. And I don't know how you'd like to respond, but whether you just want to pray where you're sitting or however you want to do it, but I'm going to pray, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to lift my hands, but if you would, join me in whatever way you see fit, but let's ask Jesus to help us partner with him. So Lord, I say yes. I want to partner with you. I want to be used for your glory. I want to be spiritually renovated in Jesus' name. Unearth the treasure that's been locked inside of me. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, Lord, I give it back to you. You've got the keys to the house. Lord, would you use it for your glory, for your purpose? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so my last point. How can we use it? These verses made me think of something we discussed, 2 Wednesdays ago at our hope group at my house. We were talking about salt and light. I encourage you to reach out to somebody who was there and come yourself, but we had a good discussion. And I'm going to read these verses a little bit wonky and out of order, but they are found in Matthew 5, 10 through 16. I want to read 13 through 16 first. I think this is the most well-known. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Say that five times fast. If it stops being salty, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. But instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's a lot of good here. I'm going to unpack this in just a second. But let's read the verses prior now, starting at verse 10. What's it talking about? Aha, here we go. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then he says, you are salt. You are light. Use it. How does it not go bad? When we were talking Wednesday night, I was like, well, if you get to the end of it, mom usually comes in with a big jug and just fills it back up, right? So it's like, it's still good. How did that happen? Because it was used and more was made. It was multiplied. Thought that was pretty cool. So just like salt and light have a purpose to be put to use, we also should be working for the kingdom. I believe, now this is just Chris, I believe that our task is far simpler than salting a nice meal. Because there are those weird folks that just keep going. They're like, no, that's not enough. Keep going. Is that enough? You know, right? Like the guy at Olive Garden when he says, tell me when. But our task is sharing the message of Jesus. I think we complicate it more probably than it actually is truly complicating. But here's the thing. Even though I believe that the task is simpler than something like this, it's not always easy. And I think that's where we get scared. And this is something that I'm probably going to get a whole lot more serious on because this is what the Lord has really been baking in my heart. But we saw the context. We saw in verse 10 where it's like he's asking us to be salt and light after telling us that people are going to run you through the mud. After telling you that people are going to insult you and kill you and persecute you and take all that you have. But be salt and light. I don't know that I like that message, you know? It's like on first hearing, not so much. But somehow as you yield to the Holy Spirit, it just takes over. It does get easier. Because then you're not relying on your own strength or your own cares or beliefs about it. And you just say, you love them, so do I. Don't always like them sometimes. Come on, stop looking at me that way. I don't always like them, but I'll love them. And if I love them first, you'll teach me how to like them. I'm going to read very quickly just part of it. I don't have it on the screen. But Luke 6:27 kind of reiterates what we were talking about in Matthew 5. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, and this is where I have some problems, but if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other one also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't ask for it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? He's like, good job. Even the sinners do that. He's like, I compliment you and then I take it back. But seriously, even the sinners do that. Well, extra freebie, but as I was watching those shows, I couldn't help. Now, I think I know a few of their stories, but it's neither here nor there. It was not a Christian network. And actually, the thing that I think I remember telling Christy that bugged me the most about this hometown renovation kind of thing is the church was nowhere to be found. And that really irks me. I'd be the type, or I am the type, I want us to be the type, us to be the type that says, yeah, you can have all of our resources. How can we help? How can we help make life better? Because usually when you help make life better, the physical life better, you get an opportunity to make the spiritual life better too. You get an opportunity to share what God's doing in you. And oftentimes it's not even with words. Sometimes they're just like, golly, what's going on? Where are you from again? What church? Maybe I ought to check those guys out. Maybe they're the real deal. Because saying, gosh, another freebie. I can't tell you where it's at, but there's a portion in James that I read like a bajillion times, and then my audio Bible reads it to me, so I've heard it a ton. But I love the way this little audio guy just words it. He's like kind of snarky about it. But he's speaking about when someone comes in and they need something. I'm going to paraphrase it a lot just so I can get the point across. He said, when somebody comes in and needs something, and you say, bye, have a good day, see you later, and you don't do anything, there's no power there. Who are you? You don't really care. And I say that because, you know, Pastor Glenn, you all know him. He's not in here, so I can talk about him, is so precious. But the absolute most favorite, most memorable thing I have about Pastor Glenn is the first time I met him and the first time he asked me if I needed prayer and I said yes, he said, let's do it. Right now. Right now? Right now? Yeah, right now. Hopefully you don't have to go anywhere. Right? Because if you really mean it, shouldn't you do it? Don't say goodbye, have a good day, be well. Going to set with me forever. It's fake. I think he's called us more to more than that. All right, here's my closing. I need you to hear this from a place of love. I'm going to say it that way. Because this is not just for you, but it's for all of us. I received this before you did, so just keep that in mind. I felt the Lord say, so just hear his voice instead of mine at this point. It's easy to be tempted to accept Jesus and get comfortable. The disciples were all fairly young in contrast to how we like to imagine them. We like to imagine them as much older than they actually were because it makes the sacrifices, the suffering that they went through a little easier when we think they were wise enough to know what they were doing, and when they gave it all, they had lived a good long life. The opposite is actually true. They were much younger than most of us believe, and they didn't know what they were doing. They were yielded to the Holy Spirit. They gave their lives because of what they had seen and the one who now lives in them. This is true for each and every one of us today. With Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he inhabits you. He dwells in you. In each and every one of us, all at once. I know it sounds confusing, but that's the way it works. All at once. Don't lose your fire that you had when you first believed. Say that again. Don't lose your fire that you had when you first believed. Don't get a survivor mentality and start hoarding up possessions and money for the unforeseen future. Me, Chris, I'm not saying that's all bad. But we should desire to give and spend everything on Jesus instead, getting the gospel out. If Jesus wants us to store anything away for later, Let him guide you in that, not the other way around. I'm going to insert another freebie here that I read the other day. It's really hard for you to hear God's voice when you've already determined what he's going to say. That hurt when I heard that. And here's my last scripture to enforce that I believe that was God's word to us. Matthew 6:19-21. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the end of my sermon as I have it on here. If there is anything that my life or my family or anyone here gets is I'm just going to say it, probably not as polished as I would like, but I've had things, as I'm sure many of you have had. I've been blessed, as I'm sure many of you had. I've been through a hard time, as I'm sure many of you have had. But in each and every one of those situations, the indicator of whether or not I had hope in the situation was him. If Jesus was present, it didn't matter how bad it was. And if Jesus was not present, it didn't matter how good it was. Because it was temporary. And if you get nothing from this message today, I hope that you can say, just like that last verse said, where my treasure is, my heart is there. My treasure is Jesus. Yes, Jesus is inside of me, but Jesus is also in heaven. So I want everything I can to be preparing and preparing and preparing to be there with him for all of eternity. This is practice. All the mistakes get to be made here. You get to figure it out. I hope some of you got that book, Driven by Eternity. But this is practice. I'm going to pray. And the biggest thing I felt led to ask is if you do not have this relationship, if you have not determined 100% that my treasure is in heaven, my treasure is Jesus, then I want to give you that opportunity. So if everybody would stand as to make this a little bit easier for the person who has to be incredibly bold. But now that we're all standing, if you'd raise your hands to heaven. And if this is you, I pray that you come talk to me afterwards. But let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, all I have is yours. Help me not withhold anything that would see your gospel go forth. Change my heart. Change my mind. Help me to have your desires, that your will would be done in me. Help me to go and make disciples just as you commanded. And Jesus, I bless the meal that we're about to partake in. I bless the people that have prepared it and Lord, put all the work in. And God, I thank you for the time that we're going to spend together in your presence with the body of Christ. God, I pray that lives are changed at camp, and the small seeds that we get to sow today that we would otherwise spend on a meal and gas and all of that get to be sown into lives that are going to be transformed. Lives that will be like my son's, getting to hear the gospel for the first time and accepting Jesus for the first time, all the above, getting filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Lord, all the lives that are going to be changed at camp. Lord, I'm excited for the testimonies already. And Lord, I pray that all these things that you're moving and putting into motion, Lord, will be bigger than we could have ever imagined, because that's just how you are. So Lord, I thank you. I bless you. I bless the people that you've put us in family and in unity with. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.